This episode is sponsored by Paleo Valley. Paleo Valley's meat sticks have been a lifesaver during this hot summer. Since they're shelf-stable, I always have 3 Paleo Valley meat sticks in my bag at all times. It's also been perfect for my boys' lunch boxes. I love Paleo Valley's grass-finished beef sticks and pasture-raised turkey sticks because they support U.S. family farmers that focus on regenerative agriculture. These meat sticks are from animals that have never been fed grains, soy, corn, or GMOs, and have never been given antibiotics. The spices in these meat sticks are also 100% organic. The sticks come in 5 different flavors, and my favorite is the original beef stick, and my boys love the teriyaki beef sticks and the original pasture-raised turkey stick. Paleo Valley's meat sticks are a perfect snack and frankly a great value without skimping on quality. Each stick is about $2 with our discount code, and it comes in a 10-pack bag. Make sure to support this podcast and head over to paleovalley.com/CATG and use code CATG to get 15% off your first order. Thanks for listening and supporting the Cutting Against the Grain podcast. Laura and I are just going to be talking really candid. This is what this podcast is all about.
It's one thing to say, I want to eat something else that's not meat. It's a whole nother thing to say, you need to eat something else that's not meat.
If you notice that you're jumping from diet to diet, at a certain point, you have to wonder, the only common denominator is me.
Get outside, go for a walk, get some vitamin D, breathe some fresh air, and stay happy and healthy and take care of yourselves.
Let's just have some real talk. Welcome to the Cutting Against the Grain podcast.
Welcome back to the Cutting Against the Grain podcast. My name is Laura Spath, and I am joined by my friend and co-host, Judy Cho. Hi, Judy.
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm good.
I can't even believe that this is the topic we're talking about today. The fact that like people eat raw meat in general, or like the discussion of what's better, raw or cooked meat, is actually a big enough topic in the community right now that this is something we're talking about. Like, I don't even eat sushi or raw fish. So the fact of people debating about whether raw beef is healthier or not is just blows my mind. I'm curious to ask you questions about this as well. But that's what we're going to talk about today, y'all. We're going to talk about raw meat, cooked meat, nutritional differences. Which one are you supposed to be eating? And I'm telling you right now, if the answer is raw meat, I'm not doing it. Okay? TLDR, that's what's happening.
So I just did some research, and I'll cite some information so that people, if they really want to delve more into this raw versus cooked, that that there's more resources that they can look into. But one is that I spoke with Dr. Bill Schindler on the Nutrition with Judy podcast, and he talked about how even historically that we advanced as people because we cooked. It wasn't that we were eating raw. And so he's the one that brought this up to me. And I was like, oh yeah, that's so true. But if you think about the most popular raw dishes, it's beef tartare, and it's broken down really, really finely. And then it's like that carpaccio meat. It's that really thinly sliced meat. And those are the two main raw meat dishes, not talking about any of the fish. And then if you think about that, it's because our digestive process, it's hard to digest raw meat. And so if you are going to digest raw meat, it's broken down to such a fine, I guess, really broken down pieces so that it's not as hard on your gut. And then with that information, I just did a lot of research. There's that one explorer from the 1900s, Stefansson. He stayed with, it's the Canada's Northwest Territories, and he stayed with some of the Inuit, and he found that the Inuit, almost every meat was always well cooked. So they ate they ate high fat, but they preferred their fat raw, but generally everything else they were eating was very cooked. So that's one. And then in 1998, Bulgarian scientists, they did a study to just figure out how much protein absorption do you get from cooked eggs versus raw eggs. And they found that the participants that were eating the raw eggs or the cooked eggs, they were able to absorb 91 to 94% of their protein versus the raw eggs. They absorbed and digested 65% of the protein. So just from a raw versus cooked, there was a 30% difference in the amount of absorption from protein. I know that people just think, well, water-soluble vitamins, if you cook them, like vitamin C, they will degradate. And there's truth to that, but it's such a minuscule amount. I mean, just recently I shared about potassium. It just so says that these meats are shown with the potassium levels as raw meats. And so I got the question of, well, does that mean that these meats are only high in potassium because they're raw? And so if you cook them, there's nothing. And it's actually, if you cook it, yes, some of the potassium goes down, but it's like 5 to 10%. So it's such a small amount. And I think we're overly hyping or concerning ourselves with this, again, this super perfect diet of mastering nutrition by maybe not cooking it or adulterating it. But there's always the risk of parasites. And I mean, I was telling you this offline, Laura, but I have a couple of my clients, they did stool tests and then we give them feedback and we do these write-ups. We provide a protocol if they have parasites. And one of the things we recommend is do not eat poor quality sourced water and then make sure that your meat is cooked. And then one of them wrote back to us and said, okay, I've been eating almost exclusively raw meat for the last year. Well, and they have a bunch of parasites. So again, it's the, do you want 5% more potassium or do you want to risk getting parasites? And it doesn't matter how high of quality your meat is. There's always a risk when you don't cook your meats.
So just to kind of give some backstory and context for people, like this is, you know, Judy is defending why you should be cooking your meat. And the reason why we're having to have this conversation and talk about the benefits of cooking your meat is because there is this big push right now that we see people like standing around eating raw meat all the time. And whether or not, I really don't think it's, yes, it's happening for like social media clicks, I think. But there is this push to say that you're getting more nutrients from meat when it's raw. And a lot of people are saying that they like warm their meat slightly, but they don't actually sear it because of the damages that can happen when you sear it, or, you know, all of these people that are scared of heat and meat, and cooking meat in any form, because like Judy said, you're losing those nutrients. And so, you know, a lot of this discussion is talking about how you're not, you know, it's actually more beneficial for you to cook your meat. Or you see people like drinking raw egg yolks and stuff where maybe there's a slight nutritional difference, but you're actually getting more potential risks by having, the raw eggs or the, you know, raw meat in the first place. But there is this like very strange push right now to like eat a bunch of raw meat. And not, we're not talking about tartare. We're saying literally just eat a bunch of big bowl of raw ground beef.
Right. And again, you're risking any bacteria or pathogens that are there. And if you don't have enough good stomach acid to even defend yourself from that, I mean, think about all the people that start a carnivore diet. A lot of people have gut issues, they have illnesses, and that's why they start eating this way. And then on top of that, if you're adding all these pathogens in your meats, there's just a higher risk with that. And there was a study in 1987 about heated versus raw protein digestion. And it shows that one, and I will link to all of these in the show notes, but it shows that cooking denatures protein. So protein is one of the biggest reasons that food can be a friend or a foe, right? So gluten, one of the reasons why it's so hard to break down and digest is because of the proteins in the gluten, just like egg sensitivities are the proteins in the egg whites. And so when you cook meats, it will denature the protein and it'll make it more absorbable, digestible, et cetera. And then also cooking softens the connective tissue. So a lot of that, the glycine, these other benefits of other amino acids, the collagen, oftentimes it's in that connective tissue. And if you cook it, you can actually tolerate that chewy part of the meat more than if you were just eating it raw. So I know that there's that one person on the internet that sits in front of Whole Foods, I think, and he's eating every kind of raw meat possible. And I get it. It's looks
cool. Does he
cool,
eat like
but
raw pork and chicken and stuff? Or you're yes, talking about like beef yes, and stuff?
Okay. I only saw like two videos, but one of them, he was eating a raw chicken something and he was drinking raw milk with that, but he was eating raw chicken. You know, that's, I mean, we
like that yeah, has to be some kind of for like social media clicks or to try to go viral or something. Like, I don't, that can't like, I don't, I do know the people eating raw beef. Like you said, you had this client who was eating like exclusively raw beef for a year. So like,
yes,
even the World Carnivore Tribe, all these people, you know, bragging about how they sit around and eat raw meat all the time is like very strange. But the raw chicken is like another level.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that it's, Okay, so with plants, for example, the minute you harvest plants, they start losing their nutrients. So you can almost argue that you should only eat plants if you pull them off the vines or the trees.
You bite them off. No, you have to bite them literally out of the ground. You have to grow them yourself and then just put your face down in the beans and like start eating them right off the bush. That's how you get the most nutrients. That's the next. Listen, we got to do a thing where we grow a bunch of fruit and then we just crawl on our hands and knees and like eat the strawberries off the vine. And that's how we get back to nature.
No, exactly. Exactly. And then think about even with the plant-based protein. So they say in order to remove a lot of the toxic anti-nutrients and the proteins that are not digestible, they say you should soak them and sprout them. And then eventually you cook the beans. Well, how much are you losing of nutrients that way? Right. So right. It's just weird to me that no matter what diet you're in, we try to perfect it to a point that it's almost dangerous for us. And I'm a proponent of raw milk. If you trust your source, there is a risk with raw milk. There absolutely is. But with raw meat, if you're maybe eating tartare occasionally, or if you're eating the carpaccio, maybe if you like the taste of it. But the studies, everything I've looked into, even the conversation with Dr. Bill Schindler, which has started this, and then my client that had the parasites, I don't really see the benefit of eating raw meat.
Sorry, don't things like the tartare and carpaccio have some kind of oil on them or citrus or something to almost like,
maybe, actually,
like a ceviche,
you're right,
where you're putting raw stuff and fish into the, but it's in like a lime juice that's almost like cooking it. Like I never had tartare. It does not sound appealing to me, but doesn't it have like the salts and the oils and stuff on it that are usually kind of, I don't know. You guys will have to message us and clarify for me. I don't really understand. But it's like almost like cures it or cooks it slightly. Where it's not truly like pulling a steak out of your fridge and just cutting it up raw.
No, you're right. It probably is cured or fermented or something to it, because there is a little bit of oil and there is salt, and salt always preserves. It's definitely not truly, truly raw. I think carpaccio is raw, but I have never eaten it, so I don't even know myself, to be honest. But you know, in the same study I was talking about, at the end of the whole study, they talk about how cooking reduced the cost to digestion by 12-13%. So if your digestion is impaired, cooking actually helps you to help digest your meats even easier to assimilate the nutrients. And if you're eating it raw and your digestion is impaired, or if you have gut issues, it's probably not the smartest thing to do, in all honesty.
Yeah, I think just being susceptible to, you know, like you said, you can trust your meat source. You can even have it be your own cows and you know that process. But I mean, there's even talk like on the packaging labels when you get ground beef or something like that, it talks about how you're supposed to cook it to well done because of bacteria that's introduced into something like a ground beef. Or the minute that you chop it, the minute you cut that steak off of the full roast, you know, that knife and the contact and the air, like all of those things are introducing bacteria. You know, when you dry age something, the outside gets this like really dark crust on it that's like almost like mold. And then you have to cut that off to, you know, get the bacteria away from the meat. So anytime you have just like raw meat exposed to air, you're going to have bacteria that's introduced over any amount of time. And so the freshness that would have to happen for it to be free of that bacteria, I mean, it would literally have to like come out of the animal and into your mouth at that point to eliminate that risk. And so, you know, even if you knew the source that you are getting your meat from, I still think that, you know, there is an element that's important about cooking things and searing things and, you know, introducing some kind of heat to reduce that bacteria risk.
Yeah. And even without the bacteria risk, the studies show that you're not going to assimilate the protein as much. And so there is some truth where egg yolks may have more nutrition if it's a little less cooked. So then maybe if anything, you cook your egg whites and somehow not really cook your egg yolks, but it's still a little bit better to cook your eggs. I mean, with the egg whites, there is avidin in the egg whites, which is the protein that can bind to biotin. So all to say that there are nutrients in the yolk that if you just eat the egg whites raw, that it binds to it so that you cannot really absorb the nutrients. So it's just better. And especially if you think you have an egg sensitivity, it's even worse to be eating fresh egg whites. I mean, that's why for some people that get vaccines that have egg whites in it, it causes an allergic reaction because it's raw egg whites. if you struggle with any type of illness or sensitivities, it's just smarter to cook. I have some clients that have colitis and they have to cook their meats as much as they don't want to do it, but they have to cook it till well done to even be able to tolerate the meat. If they even try to go medium, their gut just starts having loose stools and they cannot tolerate it. I think there's something with cooking that helps the body just assimilate the meat better. And if you don't need to cook it that much, that's fine. But I don't think if people are deciding, well, maybe I should eat raw ground beef, because I've seen that a lot on the internet, actually, that people start the day by eating just a bunch of raw ground beef. And if you want to do that because you feel it's better for your health, there's no science that, in my opinion, at least, and from the research I've done thus far, and if people have a different opinion, I welcome the research. I want to see it. I don't think there's any health benefits to eating the raw meat.
And even then, just from like a sustainability factor, I can't imagine. It's like a very strange type of person who maybe would enjoy that day after day after day, and be able to just eat that enjoyably. It's one thing to maybe have it, you know, obviously tartare is a popular thing in a restaurant, but just to like sit there with a bowl of ground beef in the mornings, like a bowl of cereal. For me, that would not, I wouldn't do it at all. I would go eat cereal. So it's obviously, maybe that's just ignorance on my part, but like, whatever you're doing has to be sustainable. And we talk about this with everything. If you're eating this way because you think it's like the most optimal way and that you have to, and I'm required and I'm not allowed to cook my meat or I have to cook it too much, like all of those things are eventually going to wear you down into being able to stick to this. And for most people, you deal with very, very sick people who now have to like cook their meat in a way that they don't want it to in order to heal. Right. But the idea is that they then can heal and then go back to cooking their meat in the way that they want to for taste and pleasure purposes. People can't sustain things long term that aren't enjoyable for them. It's why people do these weight loss shakes and diets and, you know, the frozen meal plans or the HGG or whatever these like extreme dieting ways are. They can stick to it for a short amount of time, even 3-6 months or so, lose a bunch of weight. But then eventually you're going to go back to doing something that's enjoyable and pleasurable. It is a very small percentage of people that will just forever focus on food for fuel. Most people who had a weight problem, who are like me, cannot live in this mindset of food is fuel and I don't need to get any enjoyment out of it. And a lot of the reason why carnivore is sustainable for me is because it is enjoyable. It is satisfying physically. And then also just from an entertainment standpoint, like both of those, I get both of those things and then I don't get a bunch of the negative reactions and triggers and things. So, I mean, I really kind of just go back with everything to this. How can you sustain this forever? And I can't imagine somebody wanting to eat raw meat like that forever.
Yeah. What's interesting is there are some people that eat the raw meat and then they'll include like whey shakes because they're just trying to get nutrition in. Maybe they don't have the desire to eat that much raw meat. And so then, and I just find it ironic of, do you realize that your whey protein, they add synthetic vitamins to the drink? And so if your reasoning of eating the cooked meat was you wanted the most of the nutrition, well, now you're getting possibly even overnutrition or synthetic nutrition. I just find it ironic when people are like, oh, I'll just drink a protein shake though to get the difference of this nutrition. And it's, why don't you just eat, like you said, the cooked meat and make it much more sustainable? And don't worry about nutritional deficiencies unless you really need to check that. And then there are tests that people can take. There are micronutrient tests that you can do, blood work that shows like your 3 months of your nutritional level. So if you're truly worried, eat a bunch of cooked meats for a while and then get tested. And if you're fine, then why are you so worried if you're not hitting the chronometer numbers or hitting other numbers and you're trying to go raw? It's, my clients are just trying to be consistent. And so while they're unwell, it's still hard to try to eat perfect every day. And then recently talked to a client and she said, I haven't had my full healing because I haven't been 100% carnivore. And she said that because I've eaten a little bit of seasoning or veggies or like maybe onions or something. And I was like, woman, you are not healing because you had some onions. It didn't set you back It's probably either if you've been mostly meat-based, it could be something else. And I think for her, it might be SIRS. But it's funny because that was her mindset. It's I wasn't perfect enough. And that's why I haven't reaped all the benefits of carnivore. And that thought is pervasive.
This is what is going to get me so fired up is to say that that's the message that's happening with in the carnivore community. And I mean, this is not even what we want to talk about. To say. But like, it's driving me nuts that like, oh, what's holding you back is the one thing. This is the one thing you've used seasonings on your steaks for a long time. That's the one thing. And listen, I am one of the number one people that used to say this as well. I used to quote constantly that just said, 90% carnivore, the difference between 90% and 100% carnivore doesn't just give you 10% more results, right? Like it's so much harder. But I also am realizing that that was a me problem. That was in my brain problem. That was my issues with food problem. It wasn't the fact that I couldn't regulate paprika on my steaks or, you know, a piece of celery or that like a pickle in my chicken salad. It was a me problem, whether like your clients have major issues of healing that they need to do.
Right.
And the spices that they're using or the pickles that they're eating are not the reason, or the onions, like you said, that's not what's now you might get, listen, I might eat onions and I might get some gas or burp or a couple little things, but that's not what's causing my major issues or what's holding me back from finding true healing is because I once had some mushrooms on something. I don't know. It just, I was wrong. I believed it as well. I spent a long time saying that 100% was what was freeing. And while I agree, it also wasn't sustainable for me. I had to stick to being 100% for a very long time to find out what I could moderate and what I couldn't. And for me, realizing that like a mushroom in an omelet is fine, but having some sweet potato fries is not, right? Like you have to figure out like what's going to work for you, but saying that you're not healing because you're not strict enough is really driving me nuts.
If somebody is, let's say somebody has a really severe autoimmune and then they had meat that touched onions or is in, like there's onions blended into their meat and then they have a reaction to that food, then yes, there's a bodily reaction to that and that person probably shouldn't be consuming the onions. And then we would do the same trial with the same meat, no onions. And if they don't react, it's probably the onions. And then what they should do is they should, whether they use Nutrimen or not, but then they find what anti-nutrients do onions have and then remove all the sources of that type of same anti-nutrient. And that's a smart way to do it. But if somebody is saying for this lady, for example, hers was she had some skin imbalances that it hasn't fully gone away. And when she eats the onions, when she eats a little bit in the meat, there's no difference in like she doesn't feel that the what I just talked about, right? It's just my rosacea I assumed would have been gone by carnivore in 1 year. And maybe it's because I ate the onions. And you know what? It's my fault. I haven't done perfect carnivore. Like I haven't been 100%. And it's that talking is wrong because I had to tell her, no, your rosacea may still be there because of an underlying illness, because so many other things for her has healed, her mental illness and a lot of other things. And what I don't like about this perfection thing is when people inherently blame themselves, it's because I'm not doing beef, salt, and water. And therefore, that's why I don't have the benefits of zero carb zen. That's crap. I got zero carb zen just eating meat. I still had dairy, but I was in a ketogenic state of carnivore. So maybe that's what people need. But for her, she literally thinks that her rosacea is not going away, not because maybe there's a candida imbalance or a gut microbiome imbalance, but that literally it's because she's not perfect enough. And therefore, that's why she's not reaping the benefits that everyone else on the internet is clearly eating just meat, salt, and water and healing from everything. But for her, she's not good enough or strong enough. And the reason I do not like that mantra is think about the psyche and how that affects you as a person and then how that affects you in every interaction you have with the world of I'm not good enough. I can't even stick to this diet. And therefore, that's why I have XYZ happening. And then imagine how that goes into their marriage, their relationships, their job of I'm not good enough because I'm not perfect enough. And that's why I don't like that. It's not just the onion. For some people, yes, the onion affects them and they're bedridden from it. But when people are like, oh, yeah, I still have a skin rash, it's probably because I'm not perfect. That's a whole different ballpark. And it's just not true.
But also, there's a lot of people that are telling them that on the internet, right? And that's part of the problem. And the mindset is like, you just have to be perfect like me, and then you'll all of your issues will be fixed. And this whole unfortunate element of like just carnivore harder is pushed and pushed when those certain foods are triggering. And if you have them, you're right. Absolutely. You're going to have, I have certain foods, I have any kind of nut, my whole face is going to explode. And I'm, you know, like me eating nuts is the problem. So like eating no nuts is better. Eating zero nuts is ideal, right? I have to do that. But it's not saying in every aspect all the time. And it's also not just like, I don't know. I agree with you. I think it's just so, you know, demotivating for people to have that.
And not only that, it's puts, okay, so like, this is where I get really heated too. Like, we just totally went on a totally different topic.
You have to change the title of this now. It's not, we gotta find a double title. I don't know.
You know, I spoke with Dr. Brian Lenskis, and one thing I really appreciated with him is he gets the science, but it's really of what will help his patients move the needle, have the diet stick, and truly, truly heal. And I mean, I say this again and again, and I know I'm a broken record about it, but a lot of the people that advocate for things online do not work with people. They don't work with people one-on-one to see the ramifications of saying, well, you got to let go of the sweeteners. You got to let go of the seasoning. You got to let go of the coffee. You need to let go of the toothpaste that has a little bit of sweetener. I get that. I understand maybe that might be some things that some people need to do, but for the average person, even with my most unwell clients, that's not what's going to move the needle. It's other things that they need to do. But when they hear that at the core of it, you're not strong enough, you're not good enough, it's because you're messing up the diet. That's why you're not healed. Like, I'm better than you, and that's why I'm healed, and you're not healing because you're not good enough. And that's how it comes off. And as a practitioner, and then seeing my clients cry on me and seeing that they're not well, and they're like, I'm really trying to be good, but blah, blah, blah. And they're getting sad. When you see that day in and day out, you will never be like, well, sorry, you should have just been eating beef. Like, what were you doing? Adding a little bit of onion to your diet. That is where the lack of empathy comes in. And I get really upset because these people, again, do not work with people to a one-on-one degree to even understand what their advocacy is doing to people that are struggling just to get a little bit better in their health.
Yeah. And let me talk about Brian for a second. So I know by the time this comes out, I think your interview with him is going to come out later. But Dr. Brian has a podcast himself. It's called Life's Best Medicine Podcast. He also has another podcast with Dr. Tro Kalesia, who I love, both of them. I'm so obsessed. I'm huge fans. They have the Low Carb MD podcast. So both of those are really great podcasts. But Brian works with clients every day and has basically clinics to try to help very low income minority communities heal themselves, reverse their type 2 diabetes. He sits down with people, like four generations of people, and sits down with entire families of people and tries to help reverse diabetes within the family and tries to help teach them about transitioning off of rice and beans and how to eat more meat and how to have low carb tortillas instead of regular tortillas. And he's working with people on how to go to Walmart and what you can buy at Walmart or what you can buy from your carniceria to be able to keep up with your traditions in your family and your culture, but then to be able to reverse the diabetes that's happening in your life. And he is simply trying to help improve people's lives day after day. And he's doing this incredible work, some of it virtually, but so much of it is just like in his own community, where he's able to just make such a profound difference on people. And it's not by getting them to be perfect. It's just by getting them to heal, to make better replacements, and just to educate them about like what's causing their illness. And so I don't know what my point of that was, but like, I love the work that he does. I love the messages that he and Dr. Tro share. I think you should check out their podcasts. I'm sure most of you already have, but it's just really good work. And I think that that's the type of message that, you know, when you and I get asked on a regular basis, like, how do I get my mom to go carnivore? My sister-in-law is diabetic and overweight. And like, how do I get her to do things? It's not sending them this message of beef, salt, water, or, you know, you have to eat like meat only, no seasonings and no nothing, no sweets for 90 days, or you have to read this book and follow it to a T. It's about saying, let's start by just moving in a little bit in the better direction of swapping things out for low carb options and then moving one step closer and then one step farther and just kind of helping people learn to make better decisions one day at a time.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. So Dr. Lenskes said that he likes to go on walks. And so he'll go on walks with his patients and then just talk about their life and what they're going through and what maybe, for example, why their CGM has gone up in terms of their blood sugar levels. And he talks through it and he doesn't say you can't ever eat XYZ. He'll say, what did you eat that made your blood sugar spike? And someone would, he told us a specific story. He's like, my patient keeps eating keto cereal. And every time he eats keto cereal, his blood sugar goes up. And he finally said, you know, after a certain point, you might think the keto cereal is spiking your blood sugar. And the patient was like, yeah, but it says keto, so it should be fine. And the person really wanted to believe it works, but it clearly didn't on his body. And
Right. And so
Dr. Brian was saying that it depends on the person. And then he had a couple that the woman had a whole donut on an empty stomach. And then the husband had it with cheese, had a meal and had half the donut. And the wife, because she was eating it on an empty stomach and ate the whole thing, her blood sugar skyrocketed. And from there, you know, there was a discussion of, okay, well, maybe you find the balance of maybe you try it with cheese, maybe you only have half, maybe you have a quarter. And he's much more realistic because he sees a person in your face, talking about their struggles, talking about moderation versus abstaining. And he understands that certain people need certain things. And a lot of it is psychology and therapy and figuring out, well, what will help make you motivated enough to stick? And the last thing I loved about our conversation was I said to him, what really helps move the needle? And I just thought he would talk about a certain activity or action. And he goes, you just need to give them hope, the hope that that there's a chance to change. And that people, that everyone can heal. And that's my mission too. And I love that. I mean, I didn't even know he believed that. And that's exactly it. When you don't work with people, you do not see the sick faces in front of you. And that's where I get so upset with the people in the carnivore community, especially that do not really work one-on-one long-term with these people and getting to know them, but on a first name basis and understanding their psychologies, their backgrounds, their metabolic illness. And when you do, you won't be striving for perfection because it honestly doesn't exist. And what you're really trying to do is meet the person where they are. And for some people, where they are may be that they're going to have a little bit of leafy green still in, but that's still better than them going to a donut shop because they couldn't be perfect of eating meat, salt, and water.
Yeah, absolutely. We just have to find ways for people to live these long, healthy, consistent lives and not to worry about like optimizing to the perfect diet. And to come full circle, right? To talk about like, if you told any of those people that they had to eat raw meat to be the most nutritionally balanced, every single one of them would be like, nope, not doing that. That's disgusting. Like, that's crazy. Me included. And so it just, it really has to be, you know, I agree with you. You're defending it saying it's not even nutritionally better. It's introducing excess risk. There's no real benefit to doing it that way. And it's not sustainable, but also then on top of that, just to say like, yeah, it's not something that people are going to do in order to get healthier. It's not a way to change the world to be a healthier place. And I think that the message has to change for sure.
I think the reason, because I try to think about why do people even want to talk about raw versus cooked? It's actually a very common question I get. And I really think it's because when carnivore isn't working as perfectly as people advertise and market it to be this super magic unicorn pill, then they think maybe it's because I'm not eating it raw, right? Maybe I'm not eating enough liver. Maybe I'm not eating this. Maybe it's because I'm not eating the grass finished. Maybe I need to eat the suet raw. And it's always something that the person is not doing perfect enough and it falls on the person. But maybe sometimes it's just that we need to be consistent, eat the right foods, limit our stress, and eat it consistently for more than a year. Maybe we need to do other things. And then we'll figure out maybe it's not me and maybe I actually need to dig a little deeper. And then maybe there's something else that's going on, but
right.
I don't.
Once there's
think
something
it's,
else that's making them sick. Yeah,
right. I just don't think it's right when we put this heavy burden on people that you're not good enough. Therefore, try harder. And so when people try to attain that elusive perfection that doesn't exist, then what ends up happening? You're like, screw it. I mean, I already messed up and had a seasoning on my steak.
Yes.
I might as well go and eat a piece of ice cream, right? Or I mean, a scoop of ice cream. And that's how people, that's why the psyche matters so much. And that's why this elusive perfection really needs to be killed. And I know that me talking about carbs a little bit has some people of, are you open to carbs now? And it's not that. I'm not saying like everyone should go eat carbs. We don't need carbs. Like that's a hard, fast rule I have. But if that's the only way you're going to stay consistently carnivore is by adding a little bit of greens or a little bit of seasoning, I'm going to support you because I'd rather you eat that than eat 40% carnivore meat only plus salt and water. But then 60% of the time you're eating Pizza Hut. Well, shoot, I'd rather you have a little bit of the leafy greens or whatever else it is that you can be 80% mostly meat carnivore.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in locals, my locals community, we started doing a carnivore 75 hard challenge just because I was like, well, I don't know. We should just all do this together. And very quickly, I realized that like, I don't want to stick to that. Like, why do I, like, it was one thing. We did it before and it was so important. But like, that's not who I am anymore and where I'm at. Like, I can't handle focusing on being perfect at five things all at once. And I love a good tough love mindset. I really do. But in that where I'm at right now, and I realized very quickly that there is this huge amount of personal failure that you take when you miss one element on one thing and you have to start all the way over again. And I'm sorry, I'm not hardcore enough for like the actual Andy Frisella and those people who are hardcore, but I'm, you know what, I'm kind of okay with that. And over the last few months, we have all really adapted in that community to focusing on what's your one non-negotiable thing? Like what's the one thing that I'm going to focus on and hold tight to and always fall back on. It's like, what's my biggest trigger or my biggest thing that my biggest goal right now. And your one non-negotiable thing. And then like, yeah, I have other goals outside of that. I have fasting goals. I have exercise goals. I have other things. But like for me at the end of the day, when I've had a really crappy day or something really terrible has happened, or I've lost a loved one, or like you're in the throes of grief and stress and like anxiety, I know I can focus on one thing only. And then it's not like I have to have all of these other elements of perfection on top of me. And I know like I have a lot more realistic way to deal with life because perfection is easy if that's the only thing that you have to work on and focus on. But in real life, it's just not that simple all the time. And so that's the balance that I have had to find in my life. And in this community specifically, like I've realized that's what most of us need.
To expand on the story of the one client that had a little bit of the skin thing that had some onions and feels that's probably why she hasn't healed fully on carnivore, like all the other magical stories. She's also the primary caretaker of her mother who is just had a triple bypass, has substance abuse, won't even eat a meat-based diet or even meat in general. And is trying to manage that. And then you imagine me telling her, yeah, get rid of the onions. What are you doing? If you want your skin to be perfect, you got to get in that bone broth and get in XYZ. I mean, I'm thankful that she could even stick to carnivore through all of the hardship she's been going through in the last year. And I applauded her and said, oh my gosh, woman, stop thinking that your onion is what's debilitating you from healing. And I'm sure some advocates will say that is the reason. Sure. But truly, it's probably the stress she's going under. And there's been a lot. People should be applauding her and helping her to realize like, wow, you've done a lot in a year of unquestionable stress. You stayed mostly carnivore and you are able to manage your mental health while caring for a very sick person right now and through COVID and everything else going on and moving, et cetera. I could have totally switched it to, yeah, you should be carnivoring harder and making her feel bad. But instead, I gave her hope of, you know what, you're doing the best you can and you are eating meat-based and that's really all I can ask for you. And instead, if you can just maybe practice some things for stress reduction, make sure there's time for you, try to get enough sleep so that you can be well-rested. And that's real life.
Hopefully people can figure out over time before they kind of do that, like spin their wheels and do enough damage to themselves just trying to focus on carnivoring harder, I guess, you know?
Yeah. So I think if anything, I mean, I know we were talking about raw versus cooked at the very beginning of this. And I think it makes sense because we were talking about why are even people discussing this? And it's really when it came down to the science, raw does not help you digest more. It actually takes more energy and it takes more resources. And if your digestion isn't good, it's even going to be more taxing on the body. And then secondly, you're risking yourself with parasites. And as much as I love raw seafood, there's a risk with raw seafood. So if you don't trust your fish sources, I mean, you should be just very careful with that. yes, some of the nutrients may be more plentiful without cooking, but the amount is so minuscule. It's not worth the risk, in my opinion. If you don't enjoy raw meat, I mean, don't eat it. And
yeah,
if you're afraid of parasites or have susceptibility to it, I would eat your meats cooked.
Cool. Thanks for that. I support cooking all meat.
I think we should have grace for one another. A lot of what's going on in the world these days is we just need to have empathy for one another and know that there's no such thing as perfection. And if we could take a step forward more with empathy and love and understanding rather than, well, you're not good enough or you're wrong in your thinking or you're ignorant or unwoke or whatever the other things are, we would have a much happier place to live in.
Yeah, good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to the Cutting Against the Grain podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to share and leave us a review and leave any comments and questions on Apple Podcasts. We will read and answer your questions and comments on an upcoming podcast episode. This also helps us to share our real talk with more community members. You can also find me on my other podcast, Nutrition with Judy, on all podcast channels. You can also follow my content on Nutrition with Judy's Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. You can find Carnivore Cure in paperback, ebook, and audio on Amazon. I also have a blog post and weekly newsletter with nutrition and wellness updates. You can sign up at nutritionwithjudy.com. You can find Laura on Instagram at Laura E. Spath. You can follow along on her daily stories and see some of her funny skits. You can also find Laura on her YouTube channel where she shares tips on living a meat-based lifestyle. If you're wondering how much meat to eat in a day, week, or month, Laura has you covered. She also shares how to make a perfect sear on a steak and how extended fasting looks like in real life. You can find her YouTube channel by searching Laura Spath. Thanks again for listening to the Cutting Against the Grain podcast. And remember, make sure to cut against the grain.